We thank you for each person that's here today, each person that will be here. We ask that as we gather that we would lift your name high, we would honor and glorify you, and that we would be encouraged that we could go out this week to love and serve and follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Welcome to the worship service. Those that are in the foyer, we invite you to come right in.
Yeah. the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling you. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood. Oh, what a Savior! Isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah! Christ is
that song, both at practice and again this morning. It really covers like all of us. The verse at the beginning just talks about those that are struggling in life and feel broken, and it gives the invitation to come to Jesus. And then the second verse, just for those of us that believe and have accepted Christ, it just tells us like we're not going to be perfect. Only Jesus is perfect. But my favorite part of that song this week has been the last line, tell the world of the treasure you found. And in our Sunday school class, we often share God moments. And I just have been challenged, actually since Colin Strog's wedding. I learned this next song for his wedding. They had it during their worship time. And I've just been challenged with this song, this next song called I've Witnessed It, to tell the world. Like, we can tell our Sunday school class, we can tell our friends, our close friends would hopefully be Christians, of all that we've witnessed, but really our job, what God commands of us, is to tell others what we've witnessed Him to do. So this might be a new song to you. Thankfully, I learned it for Colin's wedding. The words are awesome, so I hope you enjoy it.
Was where I found home. You were there and you were. I've seen you revive within, so I'll pour out my praise again. You're worthy, God, you're worthy of all of it. Your promises never fail. I've got stories I'll live to tell, so I'll pour out my praise again. You're worthy, God, you're worthy. Chose the cross, laid down your life to rescue us. The Savior then, the Savior now. But even death was not the end. You conquered hell so I could live. Resurrecting then, resurrecting. Your faithfulness, I've seen you revive within, so I'll pour out my praise again. You're worthy, God, you're worthy of all of it. Your promises never fail. I've got stories I'll live to tell, so I'll pour out my praise again. You're worthy, you're worthy of all of it.
You're good and I've witnessed it. You're strong and I've witnessed it. You're constant, I've witnessed it. And I'm confident I'll see it again and again. You love and I've witnessed it. You heal and I've witnessed it. Saving, I've witnessed it, and I'm confident I'll see it again and again. I've witnessed your faithfulness. I've seen you revive within, so I'll pour out my praise again.
You're worthy, God, you're worthy of all of it. Your promises ever fail. Stories I'll live to tell, so I'll pour out my praise again. You're worthy, God, you're worthy of all of it.
To the broken, I'll witness it. To the hurting, I'll witness it. To the lost, I will witness it. I'll tell them this. I'll tell them what I witnessed. I'll witness it. I'll tell them this. I'll tell them what I witnessed. I've witnessed your faithfulness.
I've seen you revive within. So I'll pour out my praise again. You're worthy, God, you're worthy of all of it.
Your promises never.
So I'll pour out my praise again. You're worthy, God, you're worthy of all of it.
Would you stand and welcome those around you to our worship service?
Grander earth is quaked before, moved by the sound of his voice. And seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my regard. And through it all, my eyes are on. Are on you.
be it for me to not believe. Even when my eyes can't see, in this mountain that's in front of me, will be thrown into the midst of the sea.
Song is hard to sing if you think about it, right? Like, through it all, it's well. But that's not human. I mean, that is human. Through it all, yeah, it's hard. Life is hard. And just recently, I found another friend that has a cancer diagnosis, and she's young. She's got a family, and I have another friend whose son is going through cancer treatments, and it's not just cancer that's hard, it's everyday life. It might be a test at school or a coworker that's hard to get along with, or just family problems. And this song, through it all, my eyes are on you. That's how we can say that it is well at the end.
Jesus, you are higher, my soul's deep.
deepest desire. Hallelujah, you are Savior. You are the Shepherd King. You lead us by still waters. Hallelujah, you are Savior. You are my only hope. Your kindness is my friend.
Sunday when I was sitting here, I knew that I would be up here today, and I had in mind what I was going to do for devotions. And as the week went along, I was like, it just didn't seem right, so I redid the devotions. And last night I was like, no, it still doesn't seem right, and so I did it again. And when we were singing the songs this morning, I thought, okay, now I understand, because I think it goes along very well with the songs. So this morning I want to read from Exodus 14. The children of Israel had left Egypt. Pharaoh was pursuing them, and he caught up to them by the Red Sea. And the Bible says the Israelites were very afraid, and they started to complain. And so we'll start with verses 13 and 14 in Exodus 14. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And then we'll go down to verse 21 and read through 27. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. And he made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning watch, that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians, and he took off their chariot wheels so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, and the waters may come back upon the Egyptians, on their chariots and on their horsemen." And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth, while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. So Moses told the people in verses 13 and 14 that it was the Lord that would fight for them and save them from their seemingly hopeless situation. And then in verses 21 to 27, it tells how the Lord did save them, and even the Egyptians recognized that the Lord was fighting for Israel. And now I want to read from Psalm 20. Psalm 20, starting verse 1. "May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifices. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. He will rejoice in your salvation. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. May the King answer us when we call. So whatever we're facing today or this week, let's remember it's not our government, it's not our bank accounts or any earthly thing that's going to save us, but we can put our trust in the name of the Lord our God. And that, you know, as we're singing the songs, several of the songs went, I thought, really well with that, but it's when we put our trust in the name of the Lord our God that we can say it is well with our soul. So I'll ask the chorister to come forward and lead a couple hymns.
Good morning, everyone. Would you please turn with me in the Mennonite hymnal to song number 565? Song number 560.
I know that my Redeemer liveth, and on the earth again shall stand. I know eternal life he giveth, that grace and power are in his hand. I know that Jesus liveth, and on the earth again shall stand. I know that life he giveth, that grace and power are in his hand. I know his promise never faileth, the word he speaks, it cannot die. Though cruel death my flesh assaileth, yet I shall see him by and by. I know that Jesus liveth, and on the earth again shall stand. I know that life he giveth, that grace and power are in. I know my mansion he prepareth, that where he is, there I may be. Oh, wondrous thought, for me he careth, and he at last will come for me. I know that Jesus liveth, and on the earth again shall stand. I know that life he giveth, that grace and power are in his hand.
If you would turn one page back to 564, if you would be willing to stand as well.
If ye then with Christ be risen, seek those things above. Let his glory shine around thee, showing forth his love. Once upon the cross. cross he suffered, gave his life a ransom free. Yet the grave could not retain him, and he lives eternally. If ye then be risen with the King of love, look not to the things that perish, seek those things above. If ye then with Christ be risen and the victory won, let your thoughts on him be centered till the race is won. Let no anxious thought perplex thee, or temptation still dismay. Think where'er the clouds surround thee, soon shall dawn a brighter day. If ye then be risen with the King of love, look not to the things that perish, seek those things above. If ye then with Christ be risen, let thy soul rejoice. Let continual praise be sounding with glad heart and voice. He who died to be your Savior rose again to be your King. If ye then with him be risen, let your joyous praises bring. If ye then be risen with the King of love, look not to the things that perish, seek those things above.
Thank you. You may be seated.
the message, and ask that you would help us to hear what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Abram, for moderating this morning. Greg and Deanna are gone this morning down to Virginia on a sort of a mini vacation, I guess. Greg, I believe, was going to preach this morning down at Dayton, so I don't know if you call that a vacation or not, but they're gone this Sunday. So the council stepped in, and Julie and I are going to be gone to Indiana, planning to be gone to Indiana for a wedding next Sunday, so the council will be stepping in to moderate next Sunday as well. So you want to open your Bibles this morning, open them to 2 Timothy chapter 3 to begin with. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Wondering this morning, how many of you have ever been to a Major League Baseball game? Been to a Major League Baseball game? All right. How about a National Football League game? Actually, been in an NFL game? We've had the privilege to be to a couple of those through the years, and we've had the privilege at least once or maybe twice to get there early. You get to the stadium early, whatever that is, and you can watch the players warming up. You can watch them getting ready, whether it's baseball or football, basketball especially as well. The players will spend oftentimes hours, several hours before the game starts, 4 or 5, maybe even 6 hours before the game, practicing the basics. Maybe they'll practice their foul shots. Maybe they'll practice throwing or catching the ball. Maybe they'll practice in the batting cage. Just those very common, normal things. And why is it that they do that? Even opera singers, I've been told, will practice the scale. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, just up and down the scale, up and down the scale, up and down the scale, sometimes for hours, each and every day. Why is it that they do that? Why is it that they do those kinds of things day after day after day? And I believe it is because so that it becomes just natural. Just becomes natural. So when you get in the game, or when you begin those kinds of things, when the ball gets hit to you, or the quarterback throws the ball, or whatever it is, it's a natural reflex. You just respond because that's what you do. That's who you are. I've been told that if you do something consistently for 30 days, do it consistently for 30 days, it will become a habit. It'll become a habit. So if you decide that when you wake up in the morning that you're going to have a cup of coffee, you do that for 30 days in a row, that'll become a habit. And the 31st day, you'll wake up and the first thing you'll think of is, I need a cup of coffee. Or if you wake up and the first thing you're going to do or whatever is, you know, take the dog for a walk or have your devotions right at that time. You do that for 30 days consistently right in a row, and the 31st day, that's the first thing that comes to your mind. You develop that as a habit. That's why these players do those kinds of things. Now, for the past 2 years, it's been over 2 years, we've been talking about the mission of Naumburg Mennonite Church. And our mission is, our purpose is to know Jesus and make Jesus known. And why have we been talking about that? Seems very basic, seems very simple, but the idea behind that is so that it becomes natural. We think of it all the time. That's who we are. That's what we do. We've had messages about, if you remember back, the beginning of January a couple years ago, about Naumburg as a ship. And we're all on the ship. We talked about relationship, discipleship, fellowship, stewardship, leadership, worship, citizenship, all those things. Helping us to understand who we are, why we exist, what's our purpose of being here, what's our purpose as a church. And I find it interesting because we had an executive board meeting this past week of our conference, and the mission of our conference, Rosedale Network of Churches, is very, very similar to what our mission is as a church. And the mission of Rosedale Network of Churches says this: to mature and multiply churches locally and globally. To mature and multiply churches locally and globally. When conference thinks about itself and the executive board gathers, when the leaders of that gather together, that's in the forefront of our minds. That's why we're here. That's why we exist. That's why we do the things that we do. And each time we get together as a board and we talk about things, we go through the docket that we have. There's a page in that docket that is dedicated to this mission. And we take time each meeting to just simply go over that. Are we still doing our mission? Are we on mission? Do we remember our mission? Are we working at our mission? It's kind of like a compass. Every so often, you need to check the compass to see if you're still headed in the right direction. You're still going in the direction that you ought to be going, and if not, maybe make a few course adjustments to get to where you ought to be. But as we think about our mission as a church, if you want to think about the Rosedale Network of Church mission, if you want to think about our mission as individual believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, the important questions are how and why do this? How and why do this? How can we know Jesus? What does it mean to know Jesus? How can we mature? How can I mature? How can we as a church mature? Or as a conference mature? 1 Corinthians tells us that we should not be like children in our thinking. Ephesians tells us that we should no longer be tossed about to and fro with every wind of doctrine. That's maturing, that's growing. How do we do that? How can we mature? How can we make Jesus known? How can we make Jesus known? How can we multiply churches locally and globally? Scripture tells us that we are always to be ready to give an answer of the hope that is within us to anyone who asks, anyone who's curious. Be ready to give an answer. Share Jesus. How can we do that? What is needed for that to happen? What's needed for that to happen with our conference? What's needed for that to happen with us as a church? What's needed for that to happen with me, with you? But maybe the bigger question is why? Why? Why know Jesus and make Jesus known? Because somebody came up with kind of a neat tagline and it sounded cool, so yeah, we'll just give that a shot. Is that a good reason? Why? Like, why do that? Why seek to know Jesus? Because that can be really hard. Why seek to mature? It's more fun to be a child. No responsibilities. You think when you're a child, you got a lot of hard things in your life. A lot of things that are just whatever, but the more you mature, the more you grow up, you realize, man, it was kind of fun being a child. A lot of things you really didn't have to think about. Somebody thought about that for you. Why mature? Why grow up? Why seek to make Jesus known? That's hard work too. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes it's inconvenient. Why? Why do that? Why seek to multiply churches locally and globally? That's hard too. Requires a lot of commitment. Requires leaving things, giving up things, going places, sacrificing. So why? Why do that? Well, I think there's three things as we think about these questions of how and why in our conference. I'm not going to claim these as our own. Our conference has sort of developed this in the last number of years, been quite a number of years ago, and set this before themselves as a conference, and I believe to understand them and recognize them will be helpful with us as a congregation, as us and individuals, to understand that how and why question. How do we do that? Why do we need to do that? And as we're thinking about all of that, we're in essence we're taking a turn. We've been talking about knowing Jesus. This is the and part of it. This is the and part. Know Jesus and make Jesus known. And Pastor Greg, you've been talking to him the last few weeks. He's got a series of messages that he's going to come help us turn that corner as well. As we move from knowing Jesus to making Jesus known. And sort of this is kind of the and part of it. I'm going to be sharing the next few messages about this. What connects all of that? Why do we do that? Know Jesus and make Jesus known. This is the connecting part of that. Connecting part of that. And there's three things that are brought forth, the how and the why. One is submission. Submission. Submission is voluntarily yielding or arranging or subordinating one's own will to the authority of another out of love, out of humility, and out of trust. Submission. Submission is a big part of this. And urgency. Urgency. Urgency is the state of being highly important and demanding immediate attention. If something is urgent, it is highly important. It demands our immediate attention. Urgency is a part of this as well. And third is discovery. Discovery means the act or the process of uncovering something previously unknown or pushing into ways and ideas to more deeply understand or fulfill things that we already know. Discovery along this path. This and contains all three of these: submission, urgency, and discovery. And I want to look at just the first one, submission, this morning. When it comes to knowing Jesus and making known, when it comes to living that out, when it comes to being that as an individual, being that as a church, how is that going to happen? Why should that happen? And one reason is submission. Submission. So if you're in 2 Timothy chapter 3, I want to look at verses 16 and 17. Very familiar verses. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. Scripture says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We submit to God and his revealed word. If we're going to know Jesus, if we're going to make Jesus known, we have to submit to God and his revealed word. It won't happen any other way. We notice here that his word was given by inspiration of God. Given by inspiration of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21 say this: knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation or private origin, your version may say. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. See, when we read our Bibles, when we take time in our devotions during the day and we read his word, when we spend time in Sunday school and we open the word of God, recognize that it is different than anything else you read. It's not man's ideas. It's not man's thoughts. It's not man's solution to the world's problems. Nothing that man has come up with. It's the word of God. The word of God. And we need to submit to it. Because it is God's word. And it was given to us by his inspiration. Men of God that he called upon. Men of God that he spoke to. Men of God that he inspired to write his word to us. Different than anything else you'll read. We submit to it because it's given by inspiration of God. It also says that it is profitable. Profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. It's profitable. It's good for us. Doctrine means teaching. It tells us who God is. Who God is. It tells us what's true and what's not true. And it gives us principles as to how to live. That's all in here, doctrine. It's profitable to read this, to understand this, because it contains doctrine. Doctrine from God. It's good for reproof, for correction. And Andy gave us a good example of that this morning. Sometimes when we read the Word of God, it shows me, man, I've got some wrong thoughts. I've got some wrong ideas. Maybe I have some wrong behavior. It's good for doctrine. It's good for reproof. It's good for correction as well. See, it doesn't just leave us there. It doesn't just point out what's wrong, but it shows us how to come back into a relationship with God. Shows us how we can be restored. Shows us how we can straighten things out. Shows us how to make things right in the sight of God. Gives us a doctrine, gives correction, gives or doctrine, reproof, gives correction to bring us back. And then also it gives instruction. Shows us and tells us how we can live a disciplined life. How we can grow in holiness. In essence, it's God's playbook for us for righteous living. All of that is here. It's here. And as we submit to that, we will be able to do the will of God. We'll understand what His good and perfect will is. We'll understand the choices and the decisions that He wants us to make. We'll understand that when we make a wrong choice and a wrong decision, that we're headed down the wrong path, how to come back. And that He still loves us. He still cares about us. And lastly, in those verses, it says it completes and equips us for every good work. Completes and equips us for every good work. Now, what that tells me is that contained in here are all the answers to knowing Jesus and making Jesus known. Because it will complete us. It will equip us. If we study it, if we learn it, if we grow in it. We don't need some new, you know, thing that come down the pipeline from some big church or little church or some special pastor that has a big following. We don't need to follow that. This is what we follow. This is where we get our directions. This is what we abide by. This is where it comes from. All of it is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 talks about that as well. As His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. In other words, again, God has given us everything we need. He's given us everything we need. Right here. Right here. We submit to the Word of God. Secondly, we submit to Jesus Christ. Turn to Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Just back a few pages. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. We submit to Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11. Therefore, God also has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We submit to Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Why? Because God highly exalted him. God highly exalted him. Lifted, highly exalted means to lift up in supreme majesty, absolute authority, and ultimate glory. That's what the Father did for the Son, for Jesus. God highly exalted him and gave him the name that was above every name. Given the name above every name, supreme authority, honor, status, and all of that signifying his identity. He is, and his power is superior to any other being in the universe because he's part of the Trinity. He's God, God the Son. We didn't happen to sing that song this morning, that worship song, but we sung it here many times in the past. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. And there's a part of that song, I believe it's in that song, that says, you have no rival, you have no equal. And he doesn't. He is supreme. Supreme. And we submit to Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, because he is supreme. Because he has absolute authority. And so we submit to Jesus. It also says that at that name, every knee should bow. Every knee should bow. When we bow the knee, it shows profound respect. It shows submission to authority. It shows the worship of a deity, in essence, when we do that. And the picture that came to my mind was a courtroom. And if you've ever been in a courtroom when court is in session, the people all gather, the two sides gather, the witnesses and everybody else gathers in that courtroom. And then when it's time for the judge to walk in, as the judge begins to walk into the actual courtroom, the bailiff calls the court to order. And he signals the participants to stand. So you're in that courtroom and the judge begins to come in and the bailiff calls the court to order and he says, all rise. And so everybody stands. And they do that out of respect for the judge, for that position, because he's in charge. He is supreme in that setting. I don't know how many of you watch Yankees baseball. We watch occasionally. But they have a player on their team by the name of Aaron Judge. And if you've ever heard the commentators or the people in the audience, when he hits a home run, they'll all say, all rise, all rise. Well, it's a reference to that, reference to the judge. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Every knee should bow. A signal of his power, his authority, who he is, who we are in the presence of. Also, at that name, every tongue should confess Jesus Christ is Lord, and one day that will happen. Whether it happens here on earth or in eternity, every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We submit to Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord, for those reasons. Third, we submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Again, just back a few pages. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. And as you're turning there, I want to share one other verse with you, a couple verses. I won't have you turn to that. But in John chapter 14, Jesus is speaking with his disciples. He's been sharing with them what's going to happen in the next several days, not too far in the future. And he tells them this. He says, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says this. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. We submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit. We submit to the Word. We submit to Jesus Christ. We submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit. True sons and daughters as well of God are led by the Spirit of God. Not led by their own power, not led by their own thoughts, not led by their own understanding. They're led by the Holy Spirit because they submit themselves to the Holy Spirit. They submit themselves to the Holy Spirit. Spirit, what do you want me to do? Spirit, what's the plan here? We submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And then fourth, as part of submission, we submit to each other in the body of Christ. We submit to each other in the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, if you want to turn there. Go ahead a few pages. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 says this, submitting to one another in the fear of God. But to put that sort of in context there, if you go back to the beginning of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 of Ephesians 5 tells us that we are to be imitators of God. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. That means that we are to model our life, we're to model our character, we're to model our actions after God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16 says, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. As it is written, be holy because I am holy. We're to be imitators of God. And verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Walk in love as Christ loves. And then at the end of that, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. To recognize that we're a team. We're a team. We're all on the same ship. We're all on the same ship. And that's what we started with 2 years ago. We're all on the same ship. We don't need to fight and quarrel among ourselves. We're not in a competition with each other. I mean, if you watch a professional baseball game, and I can remember back when our son started to play, I'm not sure what a peewee or whatever it was, baseball, the first time I think it was, they would set the ball up on a stand or whatever it is because they couldn't hit it if you threw it to them, but it would sit on there and then they would hit it. And the other team out in the field, didn't matter where the ball went, all nine kids on the team that were in the field all ran to the ball, right? Because that's what you do, you go get the ball. They weren't really playing as a team. But as they mature, as they grow older, they understand somebody's got to stay on first, somebody on second, somebody on third, some kids in the outfield, and if the ball comes in your area, you go after it. If it doesn't, you do what you need to do at second or third or catcher or whatever. Okay? Same is true here in the church. We're a team. We're a team. There are people that hold all kinds of responsibilities, do all kinds of things for the benefit of the church, and we need to submit to each other in those things to make the ship continue to go as it should. We have the privilege to sit down with Shane and Rochelle here recently, and they told us, and I believe I have this correct, that there are 41 youth going on a missions trip this summer. And how excited they are to go. Wonderful. Going to have a great time. And how things are going, and Abe shared that a bit this morning as well, the young people and just the excitement and the joy and the things that they have in the youth group. And Shane and Rochelle are doing a fantastic job, all right? But that's not all because of Shane and Rochelle. We have a junior youth pastor, Zach and Heather, who have been pouring into those kids just a few years before that. We have a number of Sunday school teachers who are sitting here who a few years before that were pouring into those kids. And we have Awana leaders for the last number of years who have been pouring into those kids. And we have VBS superintendents and teachers and helpers who have been pouring into those kids for years. Working together as a team gets those things accomplished, makes those things work when we submit to one another and work together as a team. We submit to each other in the body of Christ. It's not a competition. We're a team. We're all in the same ship. We need to submit to each other. And it's done, it says, done out of fear, out of reverence for God. A recognition of who he is, that he's in charge, he's in control, he's the head of the church. And we do that voluntarily, and we do that self-sacrificially. Voluntarily and self-sacrificially. So, when it comes to how and why know Jesus and make Jesus known, one is we do it out of submission. Out of submission. Submission to God and his word. Because his word calls us. His word calls us to know Jesus and to make Jesus known. We don't do it because it was some good idea somebody thought of years ago. We do it because his word tells us, know Jesus and make Jesus known. Mature and multiply churches, locally and globally. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay? We do it because as God's word tells us to do that. And we submit to Jesus Christ, recognizing that he is the head of the church. He is the example to follow. How did he teach? How did he share? How did he walk with people? How did he do those kinds of things? And what does he want us to do? We submit to that. Third, to the Holy Spirit. We submit to the Holy Spirit. He's the one who fills us with the power. He's the one who fills us with the energy. I'll guarantee you that all of those people who poured into those children, some of them were probably really excited about teaching nursery Sunday school class. Some of them probably were not quite so excited. But the Holy Spirit gave them power, gave them energy. Same for everybody all the way up through. And whatever your responsibility is, whatever your place that you are serving, God will give you the power and the strength and the joy to do that. As we submit to that, he fills us with the power to do God's will. He reminds us of what is right and good and true and how to walk in that, how to share that. And then lastly, we submit to one another. We're all on the same ship together of knowing Jesus and making Jesus known. Let's pray, shall we? Father, again, thank you. Thank you this morning for your word. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you for each and every one who calls Naumburg their home. And God, we just pray this morning as we've thought about our mission, our purpose, to know Jesus and make Jesus known. As we seek to do that, how important it is. It's vital that we submit in all these areas. That's what the driving force behind us is. It is your idea. It is your plan. It is your call. It is your mission to us as a church and as individuals. Father, thank you for the grace and the strength that you give us to do that. I pray that we would continue to do that to your honor and to your glory. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. This time I'll ask our chorister to come lead us in a closing.